This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Taking some inventory of the Lions as we get set for free agency this week. The Lions have brought back Marcus Davenport and released Za'Darius Smith. They brought back Derek Barnes. They are not aggressively pursuing Carlton Davis.
Well, we don't know that they're not aggressively pursuing
Carlton Davis. There's a report that indicates that, but okay.
Well, I would imagine that there were some conversations had of, hey, we would like to re-sign you. We want to have some of those conversations. And I guess it's all a matter of what do you term aggressively? Mm-hmm. Are they going to, you know, set the market with Carlton Davis? Probably not. And just because Za'Darius Smith was released, now the risk is he's going to have an opportunity to negotiate with 31 other teams as well. They could re-sign him. I think it's unlikely, but those are some of the possibilities.
What does it say? Like Marcus Davenport, fine if he's the fourth pass rusher. If he's expected to start opposite Aiden Hutchinson, which is what they did last offseason, that's a red flag to me. The guy has not stayed healthy. He has three sacks the last 3 years. If you're going to keep him but waive Za'Darius Smith, there has to be another move coming. I don't like losing Za'Darius Smith to start Marcus Davenport.
No, what I think a lot of Lions fans went through yesterday, what I went through was I saw that they re-signed Marcus Davenport, and I thought, that's interesting. Probably not a move I would make, but again, I'm not the one that's being paid to make those decisions.
Right.
But in the process, I thought, okay, now the gamble is he's on the roster, he stays healthy, you get some production. But how do you best do that? Well, you make it a three-man rotation. Za'Darius Smith, not a young guy, but he has been a durable individual. Josh Pascal has had some injury issues, hasn't been real productive, but you could probably get, you know, 16, 17 games out of rotating those three guys at that same position. And then I hear later that Za'Darius Smith has been released. Now I'm thinking, okay, what are their plans for Marcus Davenport? What are their plans for that position? Because he certainly can't be your starter going into next year, can he?
I would hope not. Look, when you talk to Lions fans, there's this belief that Brad's not going to make a splash, right? They got to take care of their own, extend their own. There's some big contracts coming. The Lions aren't going to do a lot of big moves this week. John, would you agree that that is kind of the feeling right now?
Yes, because okay. Brad Holmes hasn't been one to make big moves in free agency to this point.
Right. So if we go, that is the mindset, kind of the boilerplate expectation, nothing big. They are 10th in cap space for the upcoming season, the 10th most available space. They're saving money on defensive end going from Za'Darius to Marcus Davenport.
Oh, yeah.
And they're prioritizing Derek Barnes, who costs less than Carlton Davis, saving money. Where is this savings going if it's not turning into a big-time addition for this team?
Well, it's going to come down to, I think, three signings.
Okay.
What are they doing at the corner position if it's not Carlton Davis?
Sure.
Who are they paying? How much are they paying him? And then it's going to come down to what are they doing for that edge opposite Aiden Hutchinson? Who are they signing? How much are they paying them? And then also one a position that we're not talking about because we're talking about two defensive sides, but what are they doing to solidify the offensive line with depth? Because I'm not going to sit here and say that Graham Glasgow had a great year last year, and I don't know that he makes it through 17 games. Same thing with Frank. Same thing with Zeitler, but Zeitler's not under contract. So what are they doing? Mahogany is. I think Mahogany's probably one of those starters, but what are they doing to secure the offensive line?
So last year, Brad Holmes got Carlton Davis for a third, Zeitler for a one-year steal of a deal, right? DJ Reader on a short-term, low commitment. Like these were good moves. I'm not telling you he won't make more good moves. I'm just, as we get started for free agency here, I'm starting to look at this and go, what is he plotting? Because Za'Darius Smith made sense to come back as kind of your third end, right? You'd trade for or pay or sign a true starter opposite Aiden. Za'Darius into his 30s is your rotational piece. Is it a little overkill? I would argue no. You're chasing a Super Bowl. You can't have enough of these pass rushers. And now I'm seeing them say Za'Darius is too expensive. Davenport's a guy we want to bring back. And I got to see the follow through here because I'm a little leery that they're going to make the type of move to make it make sense.
We always worry about the knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
And I hope that the knee-jerk reaction coming out of last year isn't sacrificing top-end talent for maximizing depth.
Right.
Because of all the injuries, the knee-jerk reaction would be, hey, well, we're not going to pay a guy because, and Brett Holmes has said this, what happens if that guy gets hurt? And then all of a sudden, you're down to the next guy. Then you're down to the next guy. Yes, you need depth, but you also need top-end talent.
There is a belief that if they were simply healthy, they would win the Super Bowl. I think to rest on your laurels while other teams get better doesn't make sense.
Well, this defense will be better at the start of next year with health
yes.
than they were at the end of last year. But will they be as good going into this season as they were last year? I was wondering what type of steps was Brian Branch going to take from year one to year two? Questions were answered there. What were you going to get from the rest of everybody? How were they going to gel with Amik Robertson, Carlton Davis,
yep.
Terrion Arnold, all of these new pieces, but they showed early on that they could gel and that they could be productive. Is this defense, is this team going to be better simply on paper going into the season? Doesn't mean they're going to be better, doesn't mean they're going to be worse, but will they be better going into the season than they were last year?
I guess the best way to ask the question to Lions fans would be this. Everybody does the let Brad cook. One of the best general managers in the sport. He's turned this thing around. Let Brad cook. He's drafted well. Look at where they are. They're a Super Bowl contender. Are there any concerns about the offseason recipe? Doesn't mean you think he's a bad general manager. It doesn't mean that you're calling for his head. Are there any concerns with the recipe that he's following? Where we're saying bye to Za'Darius, but welcome back to Marcus Davenport, where Carlton Davis may not be back, but Derek Barnes is. Are they maybe falling in love with their own a little bit here? Are they not going to use the fact that they had $55 million in effective cap space for the upcoming season? Are they going to use that on upgrades? Or is there a little bit of a belief that we're good as we are? Because that would be my concern.
Well, and then how are they going to spend that cap space? Because there is cap space to be able to go out there and whether it's re-signing your own guys, and we've seen it with Derek Barnes, we believe it will happen, whether it's this year, next year. Now, it doesn't affect the cap if it happens next year for Aiden Hutchinson, but there is cap space that you can go out there and utilize.
Like, first read on this is that I really do believe they're going to be players in either Mac or Bosa.
Sure.
I would prefer Mac. I mean,
yeah.
But so what are they going to
availability?
What, just have Bosa and Davenport and get through a season with both of them combined in terms of their injury history? But yeah, kind of just a little bit of epiphany here. Maybe I didn't even talk to you guys about is maybe they trade for a corner again.
Sure.
You know, so the free agent spend is the defensive end. Then the hope is that Davenport doesn't play as much and he can get through a whole season because he doesn't play in each game so much.
Yeah.
But an actual upgrade to Davis in a trade.
Be awesome.
Is that guy out there? You know,
oh, sure. There are guys that are better.
Corners on bad teams, you know. Le'Jarius Sneed got hurt last year. Didn't hardly play. Played five games. But mm-hmm. in the five games he played in, it's a PFF ranking was 36-3. So it's like You know, maybe the Titans move away from that right away. They got rid of their GM. They're looking to get capital, you know. So there are things out there to potentially be made. I wouldn't go after Snead personally. I'm just saying the idea, the thought of doing a better Carlton Davis move.
But what you're proposing, I'm on board with, would be against what we've seen and heard from Holmes. He didn't want to pursue L'Jarius Sneed a year ago. He has not wanted to make a big splash in the edge market because, well, we got to take care of Hutch and we've got our guys. And I don't know that he's going to do the things that you brought up. And that's where we ask
some
you guys.
Point, I know, Tom.
At
some point, you must take a chance.
Let him cook.
This team right now, I don't think this roster, if you add in a couple pieces of this roster, will ever be this good again, no matter what. To me, this is the year to really push it. And I'm not talking, I thought Garrett was a pipe dream. Like, seriously, I would have put that at 0.1%. Max Crosby never thought it was real. You know, but I'm not talking those moves, but you gotta go for this while you got all these guys on these rookie deals.
Open lines on the Lions. We're going to get to the Red Wings as well. The deadline came and went. It's 97-1.
If your furnace or AC isn't getting the job done, do what I did. Call the team at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. Mastercraft has 24/7 emergency service, and they back their work with a 5-year warranty, so you know you're covered. Now through April 15th, tax day. Buy a new furnace or AC and get half off the installation. They've got generators in stock as well. Call to schedule your free in-home estimate or check them out at MastercraftHeating.com. That's MastercraftHeating.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Time for a little Red Wings post-mortem. Deadline is over. Season might be over. 5 straight losses. John, I've gone to the dark side with you.
Oh, your 51 is on. They don't make it now.
I really wanted them to beat Utah to feel good. I wanted to see them do something of consequence at the deadline to feel good. Then you throw in Friday night's disaster against the Capitals. They're going the wrong way. And it looks like they've stalled out again for the second year in a row. Yzerman for the second year in a row not adding at the deadline. And he has his reasons and he explained it. But I want to know if this is acceptable. Do you see the vision or are you starting to doubt where this is all headed? Yzerman's quote was, I understand the frustration or impatience. We did what we thought to give ourselves a better shot at the playoffs. Is it earth-shattering? No, but the only way to do something earth-shattering was to give up picks and prospects.
Where I wanted them to make the moves was offseason. Where I wanted them to make the move was an earlier decision with the coach so they didn't dig themselves as big of a hole. At this time, with this roster and where they are, I don't like it when I say it out loud, but I understand why Steve Yzerman did what he did at the trade deadline. Like if the guys that were available, I don't think we're going to take you from a team that was going to miss the playoffs by 2, 3, 4 points, 1 point, doesn't matter, you're out, versus a team that is assured to get in. Or at least a better chance to get in.
If his read was, we're a fringe playoff team and it's not worth giving up primo picks and prospects, I agree with him, okay? But when you tie one hand behind your back and then complain you're only fighting with one hand...
Right. Yeah, because of the roster going into the season. And I think we talked about this after the trade or after the free agency in the offseason. Was this going to be a better roster than they had last year?
Right. And I think if you remember last summer, Yzerman had an issue with the market, the term that was being handed out. He disagreed with some of the deals and didn't feel comfortable signing him. The last two trade deadlines, he's disagreed with the going rate to buy. Well, he's a great drafter. I'll use the word great. Some of that's a leap of faith. He's drafted very well. It's not the only means to win a cup. In fact, you will need to sign and trade, and you will need to be better from a pro scouting standpoint. Why should I trust, if you're not willing to pay the going rate to get better, that it's going to get any better? It's just exclusively going to happen because all the prospects are going to turn out? He's made 8 first-round picks. I happen to think a lot of them are core players. Say that again. 8 first-round picks. He's got the nucleus. I just wonder, like, how do they get to that next level without waiting 3 more seasons for everybody to perfectly develop?
Right. Because you're probably, I mean, maybe you got a goalie up next year, but he's not going to be your number one goalie. At least you wouldn't, you hope he's not your number one goalie.
Well, and Iserman said they're going to be conservative with him. He might not be here to start the season.
So I asked you this question, I believe it was on Thursday before they played Utah. What were the points that they needed outside of the trade deadline? No matter what was going to happen, what were the points that they needed in 7 games? And I think you said 9.
Mm-hmm.
They've played 2, they have 0 points. And the reason I went over from I thought they were going to make the playoffs to where I thought they weren't going to make the playoffs was you just simply look at the schedule. You look at what this team is over the course of the entire season.
Yeah.
And you look at what they've done since the Four Nations. That's who this team is. Yeah. And I just don't believe with the opponents that they play, even if they're able to scratch and claw and get back into that final wild card spot, they end 5 of 6 games on the road against playoff competition.
Really good hockey teams. They may have dug themselves too deep a hole to justify doing anything last Friday. I'm willing to hear that argument. The bigger picture, though, is the issue here. So people will say to us, oh, you guys are know-it-alls. What would you have done? And I'll play the game. I mean, it's only going to sound like we're Captain Hindsight, but there were things we discussed at the time. Yeah. Would Jake Walman be an upgrade on this defense right now?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't want to say it too loud because we sent a second and he was traded for a first. The math just doesn't work out.
No. If they had just kept him, he could have been on the third pair. Speaking of the third pair, Justin Hull was a healthy scratch a year ago. He was not good enough to be on the team a year ago when they missed the playoffs. They've played him all season. There were teams on the bubble that traded for third pair defensemen. The Rangers and the Bruins, Blue Jackets and Devils each added some, bottom six forwards. There were little moves to make a slight upgrade to just nudge your team a point here, a point there. We talked about letting Derek Lalonde go at the end of last season. December wasn't this brand new idea. It had been discussed. So if you fire Lalonde, you keep Walman, maybe you sign a right-handed defenseman last summer. Matt Roy is from Michigan. Washington added him. He's been a steady top 4 guy for them. But Yzerman didn't want to hand out term. Like, there were moves to be made to where they'd have not a hand tied behind their back. They would have approached this deadline in a much stronger position. Their failures from a pro scouting standpoint, free agents and trades, are undermining what is otherwise good drafting by Steve Yzerman, and it's caused them to stall out. So you guys let us know what your view is. 248-539-9797. I do sense the tide turning. Like last Friday, people were upset. I do think there are people disappointed that it's taken as long as it is. For those that are still holding out, I'm not mad at you, but I have an issue with a certain section of Red Wing fans that act like we're all idiots. You guys don't understand this is how long it takes. I've noticed a certain subsect of hockey fans, sports fans, where their patience proves they're more loyal, they're smarter, they know it takes time, and we're just a bunch of instant gratification people. No, guys, the Wings are likely to miss the playoffs, and it would be 9 straight years, the 4th longest drought in league history. And I'm supposed to believe everything is going according to plan, or I just don't know puck. And I resent that. The people who say, no, you don't get it, you don't get it, it was always going to be this way. It didn't have to be this way.
No, it certainly didn't have to be this way. And that's where I go back to, what did you do in the last 2 off seasons in free agency? Constructing this team to get it over the hump so that when you do get to the trade deadline, maybe you don't have to be sellers. Maybe you don't have to be buyers. You are able to buy complementary pieces. You don't have to reconstruct your roster on the fly.
So we've been getting like a new text and maybe even calls occasionally in the last couple weeks here since this nosedive started. I want to ask you, do you think they're soft, Jim?
Yeah.
Do you buy that?
Yeah. I think Yzerman even alluded to it. I think in his, I watched the whole thing, 40 plus minutes of questions. And I think he may have even said, and I'm paraphrasing, if you want to say we're not hard enough to play against, I wouldn't disagree with you.
I don't get about this. Yeah. Then, that your culture that you're building here is soft. Some of the young guys are here now, but you're soft. The veterans you bring in, the free agents, are soft. How is he not responsible for that?
Right, you've brought in multiple coaches, hired two different ones.
Because I would say this just from afar. When I watch this team, I see little grit, and I certainly don't see a dirt bag. And I don't care what sport you're on, no matter what, you need to have a couple dirt bags. Jim Leland said it best, and I totally agree. The guys that scrap, the guys that hold you accountable, those, you know, second, third liners. I don't see it. And I'll play to an old bit here. A Canadian grinder.
Right.
You know, I mean, it is an old bit.
Bigger on the blue line. But true.
But you have to have a little bit of that.
A little bit, yeah. 2-4-8-5
Physicality.
Three. Yeah, they're missing it. And it would have got exposed in the playoffs if they made it. Or if they make it, I suppose still they can make it. But we're just...
Yeah, what are their... I think their last math I did was seven teams that were within 4 points.
Yeah, but that's just the math. And this team play.
Yeah.
They are not good.
And how about the move they did make, right? So he said, you know, we made the move we thought was the best. They added a fourth line center, traded away Joe Valeno. In that same trade, they took on Peter Mrazek. And look, they need a goalie who can get hot. Don't rule it out, but he's been... awful. Since December 1st, he's got an .866 save percentage, and he has another year on his contract at north of $4 million. That's a negative asset that they got back in the deal. Steve will go, oh, we can roll him into next year, and the goalie market's unpredictable. That's an overpay that you're rolling into next year's salary. And then I'm going to hear about in the summer, they don't have enough space to make a move. You see how this can become very infuriating.
I'm so annoyed by them. I've given up. I don't know. I don't see how they can possibly flip the season.
Well, I mean, you never know until you see it. And I don't know what that recipe looks like. I don't know what that path looks like, because you look at the schedule, and I said this last week, you look at the schedule and it is daunting. Instead, it is not an easy task.
I didn't look at the schedule this morning. I looked at NHL Tankathon.
Oh, the draft. Texter says 20.
I'm not going down that road.
Not yet. 27 of 32 teams have made the playoffs since Yzerman began his tenure. 24 teams have switched GMs more recently than Detroit. Yzerman, to this point, has been an abject failure, signed Steve on the ticket text. Steve, you just don't know puck. It's 97.1.
Hey, I've been talking about my experience at Planet Fitness for quite some time now, and I've shared the reasons why I go and I work out and I want to work on my fitness. It's to be able to play with my kids now and in the future, and eventually grandkids. Hopefully that's way in the future. But I also think now is the perfect time to join, because Planet Fitness right now, it's a dollar down and you're going to get the first month free of a Planet Fitness Black Card membership. So you get access to everything that Planet Fitness has for just a dollar down. I'll say it again, a dollar down and the first month free of the Planet Fitness Black Card membership. Here's what you get with the Black Card. You get access to every single club that they have. You have unlimited guest privileges. Plus, you also have access to the Black Card Spa, which has tannings. It has massage chairs. It has so much that it offers, whether it's before working out or recovery after you work out. Check it out. And there's a number of other reasons why I think you should be going to Planet Fitness. It's a clean environment. They do a tremendous job of keeping it clean, whether it's the workout floor, it's the aerobic machines, which we know everybody sweats all over. They keep those clean. The locker room, the showers, the bathrooms, they're all clean. You can find more information and your nearest club and join today in club, online, or on the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet, Planet Fitness.
Where are you at on the Yzer plan? That's the question. We'll get to the phones. 248-539-9797. Five straight losses on the outside looking in right now. Really, even by Iserman's own admission, nothing earth-shattering at the deadline. Pragmatic, maybe. Frustrating, you bet. Let's get to Steven in Clarkston. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. Jim, I agree with you 100%. You know, this is frustrating, and it does not have to take this long. I mean, if you look at two teams that are carbon copies here, you have Washington Capitals, who were right there with the Red Wings in the same position last year by getting in, you know, within 1 point of us last year. They had a tremendous offseason. They basically extended Alex Ovechkin's career by adding a couple players with Chychrun and even with the Matt Roy signing, Mangiapane, a couple other ones. I mean, they were aggressive in the offseason.
Yep.
And then you look at Ottawa. That's the one that's most frustrating to me. Ottawa, who was, you know, we did dig ourselves in a hole, but they were still behind us at the trade deadline or during the Four Nations Cup. They were behind us in the standings. And they go out and get Dylan Cousins.
Yep.
You know, and that is so frustrating because they saw an opportunity they took and they want to, you know, they want to speed up their process and they got to get in. That's the whole thing is to get in, especially in the NHL, as you talked before. You get in, you do not know what happens. It does not matter the seeding.
So you know what I think Yzerman would say to that? Yeah, but they're not going to win the cup. Which just feels so, you know what I mean? Like, all right, so why do anything? until all of his prospects both get called up, learn the game, develop, establish, become stars. Yeah, it sounds great, but you have to build a hockey team through more than just the draft. And they've had enough runway to do this. They've drafted 8 different first-round players, many of whom I'm excited about. You know, it's the one thing that you cling to with the Yzer plan, but then you look at their inability to support these young players to take the next logical step, then it gets you frustrated.
Well, it's yes, you can continue to build through the draft. The problem is it takes so long. Unless you have lottery luck and you get a generational talent, which still needs development, it takes 3-4 years, and it's really hard to look that far down the road. Now, his draft picks are starting to show up, obviously.
But to Tom's point, what environment are they being baptized in? You're a soft, losing hockey team. You know what I mean? He's had 2 different coaches to put his stamp on it. 6 years in, this is his blue line. These are the type of players that he has put out on the ice, right? I mean, that's why we say, like, what's the point of making the playoffs and getting bounced? Well, you're building a bit of a culture. You're going to have to build a little bit of a backbone, a little bit of a winning mentality. You do have to break through. I mean, we're a couple years away from looking at Larkin and DeBrincat going, what was the point?
Yeah.
And Kane will be gone. And so what's the point? You're going to reset anyway.
This team was so good for so long that you have to go back pretty far to try to see how did the things change before. And you know what? Eventually they moved on from a John O'Grodnik in the 80s and they won immediately after that. That's actually when they got to the conference finals right after that. And then they had to do another reset, and they started drafting all the foreign guys ahead of time. You've seen, you know.
Yes.
But then they had to move on from Ray Sheppard, you know, in the 95-96. They got Larionov. That people were puzzled by that at the time. But it was all about fitting in. And by no means are they on that championship crest yet or whatever. But along the way, you've got to do things to stir things up.
Again, I'll say it again. This would be the 4th longest playoff drought in NHL history if they miss. You can't tell me everything's going according to plan.
No.
Come on. Let's get to Edward in Detroit. Edward, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know, we're talking about the Lions a little while ago, and I guess I have to admit, as a 55-year-old and watching the Lions my whole life, I guess I still have my share of PTSD. And this moment reminds me that they still have the DNA of William Clay Ford in their bone marrow. And I say that because a lack of urgency is a calling card of that era. And I'm going to take you back just a couple years ago to the trade deadline in 2023. A lot of people around here wanted guys like Chase Young. They wanted guys like Montez Sweat. And what happens? They find themselves in the NFC Championship game with Kaminsky opposite Hutch. And say whatever you want about that game, Brock Purdy's 48 yards rushing, scrambling around, extending plays, running for first downs, in my opinion, was what broke their back. And so now here we are 2 years later, and the Lions are still talking about what we have tomorrow, we have next game, we have next year. And we thought that a team like the Rams was done 4 years ago, and look at them. What did they miss out on after giving up everything they did for Matt Stafford?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, what are the Lions willing to do to grab by the neck this moment? And if you're a longtime Lions fan like me, the unfortunate truth is you're going to be surprised if they do anything desperate,
right?
Because they've never done it.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I I feel it as well. Like, there needs to be a sense of urgency. They have, as you mentioned before, the 10th most cap space to be able to go out there and sign free agents. They also have to sign their own guys. There's a math equation that they need to be able to do and solve, but you see other teams doing it.
So on that note, I just behind the curtain, Doug's out there prepping for his show, and I'm bugging him, and I'm like, well, what are they going to do with all this money? He said, well, they're going to extend their guys, and they're going to roll bonus money in early. And I go, how does that make them better? He goes, well, they're going to be healthier.
That is a part of it. All sure, right. But it doesn't have to be all of it.
It shouldn't be all of it.
No.
Let's get to Heather's news.
I'm going to start with this story, and it's a story that I never thought I would ever hear. There's a young boy in Michigan who was crushed to death after his 340-pound foster mom sat on him. And she sat on him for five minutes because she says he was acting up. It's absolutely ridiculous. This woman, Jennifer Wilson, told police that 10-year-old Dakota Stevens had run away from home and was misbehaving after she found him at a neighbor's house. And I guess he got home, like, threw himself down on the lawn. So she sat on him right there in the grass. He was screaming for help, and then suddenly he just stopped screaming.
Yeah.
And the woman told police that she thought he was faking being hurt. She thought he was faking it.
Did you say there's, like, Ring footage of this?
Oh, yeah. Yes. This was in the front yard.
Yes. So there's Ring doorbell footage of the incident taking place. The little boy was flown to the hospital, but unfortunately there was...
Nothing they could do.
He had died. There was nothing they could do. The woman now faces 6 years in prison if convicted.
That's bizarre to me.
Agreed.
And it's only 6 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was fostering three other children at the time. Now her foster parent license has been suspended.
Yeah.
What?
Heather, maybe you're not in this conversation, but you know, I've wrestled with my brothers, wrestled with teammates, and you get into a position, right, where you can't breathe, you tap out. Those few seconds of panic, I can't imagine the final moments of this kid's life.
Five minutes?
Oh,
it was just a month as well after he was placed in her care. It's just... unbelievable.
Yeah.
Another really sad story. Auburn Hills police are investigating a suspected murder-suicide after finding two people dead inside a Holiday Inn Express late Friday night. They also found a three-year-old. A little girl was also discovered in the room unharmed. Police were dispatched right around 10:45 for this reported domestic violence incident. And as they were approaching the room, they heard gunshots. They do believe that the 33-year-old man shot the woman and then took his own life. The three-year-old was taken to a nearby hospital and released to a family member. Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy has broken his silence, sort of, following his domestic violence arrest. So on Friday, he was arrested in Texas for assault against a family member or household member. He actually faced a third-degree felony charge. Then the next day on Saturday, all the charges were dismissed based on early investigation, talking to third-party witnesses. And then on Sunday... he posted a photo on Instagram and his stories. It was a selfie, and the caption was "New Beginnings." He also debuted a new haircut. And I actually wonder, it might have something to do with the incident that took place, because I was reading some reports that said it had to do with the woman he was seeing. And he had asked her to leave his residence because he discovered infidelity, it said. She refused to leave. And part of it said that she ripped out parts of his hair because he had the braids.
Yeah,
right.
So I don't know if there is any correlation, but it maybe could be that he decided, you know what, I'm going to take all the braids off and fresh cut, fresh do. A new study has found that the butterfly population is rapidly declining, and scientists believe that the decrease is catastrophic. There's a researcher at Michigan State University that says about a quarter of butterflies have been lost over the last 20 years, and they say it's a big deal. You might not really think about it, but butterflies do play a significant role in ecosystems. They provide food, especially as a caterpillar for birds.
Mm-hmm.
They also are excellent pollinators. And they say, though, that this has big impacts and could have big implications going beyond that, because if it's happening to these butterflies, most likely it's happening to other insect species as well.
Do we know why?
The study wasn't looking at why. There is some thoughts as to why. Climate change, habitat loss, and these insecticides that are being used. And they say in Michigan, that's what they think for sure is the biggest, are these insecticides that are being used on lawns, environments, agriculture, you know. So
sad just to see. We don't mow our lawns anymore. That's
no
the answer.
Bees, no more May. It's coming up.
It is.
Or you know it. Heather with the news. It's 97.1.
Hey, this week, FanDuel is bringing you a Dog of the Day Profit Boost token. One of the best parts about the tournament is when an underdog takes down a powerhouse. Right now, those upsets can get even better because your underdog bet wins. If your underdog bet wins, you're going to land even more winnings with a profit boost. This is your chance to ride the long shot, the scrappy teams, the ones that refuse to go quietly into the night. And maybe it's a 16 taking down a 1. It's happened before. 15 over a 2, whatever it is that you want. If you've been waiting to join FanDuel, there's absolutely no better time. The app is easy to use. And when you win, you're going to get paid instantly. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to download America's number one sportsbook today and back your dog of the day with a profit boost. Because after all, anything can happen in March. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Wager of at least plus 100 odds required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mark Champion on the call. Pistons split the West Coast trip, beat the Blazers last night. Cade Cunningham, 28 points. Did you see this Jackson Job quote from over the weekend?
I did. It's awesome.
This is an awesome quote, and there's not a topic with it. It's just something fun I want to end the show with. We'll get daylight saving thoughts here in a second, too.
Just can't get it right, can you?
I didn't even know I was doing it wrong until someone named Karen on the ticket text told me.
Everyone says daylight savings because daylight saving time doesn't flow.
No, but it is. It appropriate.
Is
daylight.
It is.
It is the savings. We are saving the daylight. Daylight savings.
Saving time.
So no plural. I don't even like the Myers Fords people, but I guess I slipped into the Michigan in me.
Daylight I think everyone savings? Does that though.
Okay.
I think
we have some thoughts on it. The quote from Jackson Job on his attacking mentality in a 3-pitch strikeout of Vlad Guerrero Jr. Quote, I'm tired of trying to dot a gnat's ass. Just here's my stuff. If you hit it, good. Odds are probably not. That's a badass quote.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Now he needs to follow through, which he did by, you know, striking out Vlad.
Amen. Throw strikes. Mm-hmm. Keep pitch count down.
Throw hard.
Yes.
Dare you to hit it.
Painting the corners has been driving me nuts in baseball.
Some guys got to do it. Like, Maeda can't blow by guys, right?
Exactly.
But you're Jackson Job throwing 100 miles an hour and you got late action on your breaking stuff, go ahead. I'm not going to dot a gnat's ass.
Yeah. That was a badass quote. It was one that I saw. I don't remember when it first came out. I saw it at some point this weekend, and it's one that just doesn't. It can't leave your mind. Now it is a part of who he is.
So fascinates me about baseball, you are in such a humongous advantage as a pitcher if you get strike one. You are.
Yep.
You're already in a huge advantage to begin with. You really are. But your advantage is so much, and it just baffles me how guys, you know, hey, let's just beat around the bush. I'm afraid they might hit me.
What can you get 2 strikes of the next 6 pitches if you get the strike one call?
Right.
So, look, he's going to make a really tough decision for this staff because Mize is pitching well. Maeda has obviously the veteran status and financial, you know, incentive for them to put him in the rotation. But Job has pitched well.
I still think he's on the opening day roster.
As a starter?
And I do. I just think that he's got something about him that I think is going to be special. Now, he's got to go out and prove it, and it's not going to do it every time. Like, I heard in one of the updates, right, that Tarek Skubal allowed his first runs. I know. He's not going to be perfect. He's going to be dominant, but he's not going to be perfect. And I think as we watch Jackson Job grow up right before our eyes, I think we have a chance to be watching something really cool and really special.
So then Maeda out of the pen, maybe? Or Mize out of the pen?
Well, that's where they put him at the end of last year, and he had some decent success. I'm not going to call it, you know, overwhelming success, but he did find some success there as the first guy out of the pen as a long reliever.
I don't want to see Mize, because he has options, start in Toledo, because it looks like he may have regained some form. Velo's up. Splitter looks like the splitter we were promised when he was the number one pick. Look, they're going to have six guys for five spots, and that's not even counting Cobb. But this is what you need to survive 162 games. We saw that a year ago. And then we also saw they'll get creative. They got to fill nine innings every day. It might not always be traditional guy goes six to start the game.
Right, and for 162. So what does that mean for Jackson Jobe when he starts to, you know, creep up to 80 innings, 90 innings, 100 innings?
Skip a start.
Well, skip a start, you know, short a start, some different things, especially early in the season. And maybe it's just because they want to save the innings towards the end of the year that he does start in AAA. I find it unlikely.